Are there any good men left to marry? And is internet dating still taboo?
Of course, not everyone wants to get married. There are those who are single and may be satisfied. We're taking questions from single adults today on Real Family Talk.
Our first question today comes from a viewer who says, I don't think there are any good men left to marry. I haven't been on a date in forever. Should I give up on marriage? Wow, this is a question that we hear often. As we travel around, as we speak in various places, we get this question from a lot of single adults.
It is a loaded question, and it's one that I think we need to go back to the beginning and remember that marriage was invented by God. In fact, the first institution established by God at creation is marriage. And so if marriage was invented by God and God has promised to supply all of our needs, I believe that as people of faith, we need to not only include God, but God needs to be central in this whole enterprise of finding a mate.
So I hear you saying that marriage is a godly thing.
It is.
It's not just for us.
It is a godly thing and God ordained. And if you're looking for someone to marry, how about asking God to guide you?
I think some people might be a little scared about that though, right? Because then they may feel that they may never find someone or God may never send someone for them.
Well, I'm not sure why be afraid. Remember, God says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. That is a promise that God makes. He also makes the promise that he will supply all of our needs.
So I think that's great counsel for our viewer who asked the question. But, okay, so let's say now that she is, you know, she has put it in God's hand and...
Oh, it's a she.
Well, I'm assuming it's a she. I mean, it could be a he.
Could be a he.
Oftentimes the question, men are usually a little reticent to ask this question.
Oh, they think they can handle
although,
it?
Although, recently there was a man who asked me the question. So it could be a he or a she. And the answer applies to both, mm-hmm. right? I mean, both men and women should be looking to God to lead them on the right path to the right mate. So the issue is, though, I think that sometimes people are not exactly sure what they're looking for.
Well, she's asking, are there any good men left?
So it is a she.
Yeah, it is a she. Are there any good men left? Well, I believe there are many good men left. And it all depends on where you're looking. People are talking about looking in different places, and you need to look in the right place. Understand that marriage is fundamentally about values. If your marriage is going to work, you need to be marrying someone who shares your values.
All right, but Pastor, what is the right place?
What is the right place?
What is the right place to look? As you said, we should look in the right place.
Look in church.
And we see today that many people are trying internet dating and they're trying all kinds of other things. So what is the right place? But we'll talk about that later. What about the whole issue of it being too late to get married?
Too late. It's never too late.
I think it's never too late.
It's never too late.
For someone. Now, what I will say is that, again, I think we need to really know who we are before we get married, and we need to be absolutely clear what are those attributes that we're looking for in someone so that we don't get desperate and we start to... compromise perhaps on some of the things. But the other thing I also feel is that there are some elements that we have on the list, let's say, that maybe we need to get rid of.
Yes.
So sometimes I think people might be looking for a perfect person.
Well, that's another thing. You know, the the person asking the question says, are there any good men left? My pushback and question to that individual would be, are you a good woman? Because are there any good men left? Good men are looking for good women. So before you get off on are there any good men left, be sure that you are a good woman.
Ah, okay.
And for that, we need to pay attention to our own lives and how are we living and what kind of person we're looking for.
And for the men who are asking the question as well, although this was a woman, but they should practice being the right spouse, the right person as well.
And keep in mind that not everyone has to get married. And what I find interesting about marriage, I see marriage as a birdcage. Those inside want to get out. Those outside want to get in.
Well, not everybody wants to get out. I'm not trying to get out.
That's correct. We've been married for 32 years, and we're not looking to get out. This has been a nice cage.
All right, let's look at the next question. The next question is, where is a good place to meet people who are interested in marriage? To meet someone who is marriage material.
Okay.
So, you know, that languaging always makes me feel a little uncomfortable, but we understand what the person means. You know, marriage material, which is what we were saying earlier, people who have good values. People should focus on looking for someone who shares their values.
And their circle and their sphere, you know. For example, you know, if you are an individual who perhaps you have a high school education, well, don't try to marry a rocket scientist because you may not be able to be compatible in your conversation. Oh. So look for someone who is a lot like you, you know. There's something else I want to mention, and that is, well, certainly church is a good place to meet people if you're looking for someone who has values like you do. There's something I wanted to say that's eluding me, and I'm trying to remember what is it that I wanted to say. Oh, yes. Research tells us that most people find their mates because they've been introduced by family and friends. See?
Right.
So most people find their mates through friends, through relatives. Why? Because usually family and friends, your family, your friends, share your values. And they would be friends with people who share those values as well. So that's a good place to go.
I love that because this person is saying, I've tried everything. Bars, car dealerships, the internet, singles events, and speed dating, but I'm still single. What would you suggest I do? I'm not getting any younger. So that kind of reminds me of when we met.
Yes.
And how we met. And it's very interesting because we met on my college campus where I was attending Atlantic Union College in South Lancaster, Massachusetts.
And I was already pastoring in New York City.
And
I was a young pastor.
Pastoring. And
yes.
It was funny because the academic dean in my freshman year had given us a speech saying that the college campus is a good place for you to meet your future mate. And I thought that was ridiculous. And yet that's where we met. That's right. So we played racquetball. I let you win, and then the rest is history.
That's an interesting story. That's your story. But my story, history is, yes, we played racquetball. You saw my legs. The rest is history.
Okay, you know what? I'm not going to disagree with that. In our Facebook poll, here's where a few of our viewers say they met. Let's see. Someone said, with the help of my friends, which we definitely agree with. At church, some met at church. A few of them said they met at church. Perhaps the neighborhood where they grew up in, a colleague. Several people said they met through a colleague. Church camp, high school, family bowling league.
College.
And also school,
yep.
College, like we did. Mm-hmm. Although you were not in college. You were already pastoring.
I was already a young pastor. That's correct.
Yep.
Well, would you or have you tried internet dating? After the break, we'll meet a couple who met on the internet and hear their story. Stay with us.
In our Facebook poll, 25% of our viewers said they would or have tried internet dating. What about you? Could you meet your spouse on the internet? Well, Greg and Candy did, and we're glad they're here today to share their story. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. This is very exciting to me to actually meet a couple who met on the internet. Tell us why you tried internet dating.
Well, I'm not a very social person. You know, someone asked me one time, tell me when you're ready to go home. I said, I'm always ready to go home. That's not conducive to meeting people because there aren't many people to meet at home. And so,
unless you're meeting your sister or your brother, you know.
Which, yeah, doesn't work very well for this case. So it seemed like a natural choice. The other wasn't working, so let's give it a shot.
What was your experience like before you met?
Well, I had looked online just to see who else I knew was on there. And a few other people had commented and, you know, messaged me or asked questions, but that wasn't that interesting.
So how did you two eventually meet each other?
Well, that could be a longer story. I was looking at a particular Adventist dating site, and I had messaged a couple people, but I really didn't want to pay for the site. It was pretty expensive, honestly. But I came across her picture. She stood out some of the characteristics, but I recognized the background. Mm. I knew that was a picture from the Walla Walla College online directory.
Okay.
This was in a day before we worried about privacy so much.
Yep.
And so that was clear, wide open to the world. Hmm. And so I went and looked. I was able to narrow it down by hair color, and I found her. I had her address. I had her email. I'm afraid that might be a little bit creepy, but I didn't call her or show up at her door. I emailed her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long did you date online before you met in person?
Well, the email came in my junk mail, and I'm like, I should write back. I wrote back, and in September, that was in August, our first phone call was in September. I called him with a computer question in case it didn't go well. We talked for 4 hours, and we hate phones. We met in person in October. We got engaged in December. I came out here in February to see what it would be like over here, and we got married in April.
Oh, my. That's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
August to April.
Yep.
Oh, my. Wow.
So what made you know that you were right for each other, that this was the person? I want to hear Candy's answer first.
It just was comfortable. We enjoyed talking. That was most of what we did. It was just nice.
Oh, and what about you, Greg?
Well, it's kind of a nerve-wracking thing when you've only met someone a handful of times, and the whole time you kind of have to be wondering, this goes against all the conventional wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do with this? But my sister bought me a book, and there was a little concept that just stuck in my head from this book. It said, if God's in it, it flows. Mm-hmm. If God's not in it, you're going to fight battles every step of the way. And little did I know, God was making a covenant with me there.
Okay.
What
made you think that God was in it?
The fact that everything went smoothly. Okay. With something like this, you expect people to say, you know what, this is too fast, you don't know each other. No one stood in our way. Everyone we talked to absolutely encouraged us and trusted us through the whole process.
Mm-hmm. I want to be sure that we're talking about the fact that you guys met online, but you had similar values.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted perhaps the same things out of life. You were both Christians, same
yes.
denomination, Seventh-day Adventists in this case.
Yes.
And so there was a lot of commonality.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
And in essence, he did a background check on her. So did that make you feel a little more secure, the fact that he was able to email you and perhaps you got a better sense of who he was and where he was living or...
Well, I guess the email didn't really scare me because, you know, how would he have gotten that wasn't on the site?
Probably in today's world it would be a little scary, but back then not so much. But
well, I was going to ask, how did things work out for you? I guess pretty well. You got married. Mm-hmm. You have a son.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So internet dating.
Yeah. So how long have you been married?
13 years.
13 years. So that's a pretty good. Yeah. That's a pretty good testament there.
Well, that they went past a 7-year period, and now they're almost twice as long as that. So that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that for many of us, we've been married for 33 years almost, and internet dating was not even around.
There was no internet then.
Yeah, there was an internet, but the only people that used it were
the military.
Military people. Yeah. But so for people of our generation, I think it is a little scary still, but more and more we recognize that people are using the internet. So what would you say to people as far as what they can do to make sure that they are safe, that they are secure when they use internet sites for dating?
These days you have to be pretty cautious. Yeah. It's true. You know, you need to be careful, take time to get to know the person as safely as you can. Perhaps be cautious of someone that digs up your address, but a lot of the sites are cautious about that. You know, they gave you safe space to get to know the person just a little bit before you actually meet in person. You know, but do be cautious.
So, I'd like to ask, what did you learn about yourselves and about God through this experience?
I learned how God walks with me.
Okay.
I learned how God leads me because there's a lot of uncertainty in a situation like this, but I learned to trust Him.
Tell me a little bit more about that so that the people who are watching online, watching our program, have a better idea of what walking with God looks like.
Well, in life, there's a lot of things you do where you really don't know how it's going to turn out. And sometimes you have to take risks. Sometimes God calls you to take risks, and you're sitting there wondering, is God walking with me on this? Now, God talks to all of us differently, mm-hmm. and I started to learn a little bit how He talks to me and how he lets me know that He's leading me.
How did He?
That idea I told you about that I read in a book, that stuck in the back of my head, and I've started to learn that when I get something like that, when I read something, when I hear something that I can't get out of the back of my head,
that's God.
That I need to keep my eyes open because there's a moment coming up where I'm going to need that.
Yeah, okay. And of course that comes out of an experience that you have with God so that you know that it's His voice that's speaking to you. Yeah. And you probably have ways that you clarify that this is actually God. But Candy, did you guys seek counsel from, like, your parents or from your pastor? Or, like, did you get premarital counseling?
Mm-hmm. We did. We talked with our parents. The pastor who married us said we had to have the counseling, but how it was going, you know, he wasn't in Washington State. I wasn't over here. So when I came to visit over here, his pastor did the counseling in a much shorter time.
Okay.
And both pastors were fine with how that all worked out.
So in essence, your family vetted him and your pastor vetted him.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa,
yes.
Of course. Yeah, because I can imagine as a mom, if my daughter said, you know, I met this guy, he lives in Washington, D.C. or Maryland area, and we met online, and again, we're older people, we don't know anything about the internet, that we would feel a little scared. But it sounds mm-hmm. like you guys took careful steps to make sure that this was where God was leading you and going through the proper channels of getting premarital counseling, involving
your
village, as
yep.
we call it, your community, your parents. So that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what advice then would you give to other people who are trying internet or who want to try internet dating?
Well, one thing would be is don't always go for a certain type, you know. Just because they might have one or two things, you're like, ah, I don't know about that.
I like that.
Give them a chance because the other things, you know, look over the whole picture.
Look at the whole picture. I like that idea. So not nitpicking so much, but what are the non-negotiables? Mm-hmm. What are the essentials that you're looking for?
Yeah.
I like that.
So
I like that
what,
a lot.
Yeah, I do. I really like that. What would you say were some of your non-negotiables and what were some things that you felt you could just let go?
Like religion.
is a non-negotiable.
Right.
You wanted someone who was Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, wasn't smoking or drinking, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But the type of music, that's negotiable.
Okay. Okay. Do you guys like the same music, or do you listen to different kinds of music?
We listen to different, but he keeps converting me to his side.
So he's an evangelist.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's what we tell couples anyway, that we can share our recreational tastes mm-hmm. with one another, and that works pretty well. Yeah. That's a good thing. What about you, Greg? Real quickly, what were some of your non-negotiables?
Non-negotiables comes down to a lot of the same things. And I was looking for someone that was fairly independent, you know, and easygoing, because that fits with my personality a lot better.
Good. So. Good, wonderful. Thank you so much, Greg and Candy, for sharing with us. Not everyone is looking to get married. After the break, we'll hear from a woman who is tired of people asking when she's going to walk down the aisle. Stay with us. We are taking questions from single adults today. Let's look at one more question. Our viewer says, I am so tired of people asking when I'm going to get married. I am happily single, settled in life, active in church, and have great family and friends. If I never get married, I'm okay with that. How should I get the naggers, parents included, to understand?
Well, quite frankly, I believe, Elaine, that that's not the job of the person who's asking the question. How are you going to get the naggers? There are always going to be naggers. There are always going to be people asking. This is something natural in our society. People think if you're not married, you should be married. And yeah. If you're not married, why aren't you married? Listen, you cannot control those individuals, including your parents. You can only control your response.
Yeah, but you know, I empathize with her.
Of course I do.
And sometimes I even catch myself when we speak with our young single adult friends.
Or not so young.
Or not so young.
Yes.
And there's always the question of, are you not married yet? And what I've heard from a lot of single adults is, why is there always this yet at the end
yes.
of the question?
Do I have to be married?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Yeah, so I empathize with her, and I love the fact that she's saying she's settled in her life. She's active in church.
That's a good thing.
Which says that, you know, she's giving to the community. She's doing something more than just...
She's not living her life on hold. And I
exactly.
think that's important. Don't live your life
exactly.
on hold. Do what you're doing.
And there's something else that she says that's very critical. She says, I have great family
and friends.
Yeah. So she's getting the warmth, the community. Obviously, she's not getting marriage intimacy,
yes.
but she sounds like she's okay
And she
with
has
this.
Lots of other kinds of intimacy. To believe or to think that marriage intimacy is the only intimacy you can have. No, intimacy means to be close to someone. And obviously, she's close to her family and her friends, and that's good.
Yeah, and I want to take the opportunity to say something else here as we talk about marital intimacy, because a lot of times when people think about getting married, the only thing they're thinking about is physical intimacy. And you said marriage intimacy, she's getting, not marriage intimacy, the physical intimacy, but she's getting that connection from other people in her life. And marriage is way more than just physical intimacy.
Yes.
And that's where it breaks down a lot of times for people, because they're just looking for that physical, that romantic high, and marriage is a whole lot more. So I think it's wonderful that she's saying this. So I guess what we're trying to say is that not everyone needs to be married.
That is correct. Not everyone needs to be married. Yes.
Yeah. And so what else would you want to say to this viewer?
Well, I would like to say, good for you. You're living your life satisfied. And while some people might be satisfied, others may not be satisfied, but you are satisfied, and that's a good thing. Whether married or single, if we believe in God and we're people of faith, we need to be settled in our lives, happy at every stage. At this stage, I'm happy. At that stage, I'm happy. At every stage, I'm happy, regardless of what that is.
Because happiness is a state of mind. It's an
happiness
attitude.
Happiness is a state of mind. It's
right?
an attitude.
So I choose every day whether or not I'm happy.
It doesn't
matter what happens in my life. If I'm a Christian, if I'm saved, if I'm a child of God, then I should have joy. I should be happy.
Yes, and the truth is, people who are married are not necessarily happy. As I said from the beginning, some people in marriage are trying to get out. So be sure, if you're a person of faith, to be happy each day. Ask God to give you joy. He's promised to never leave you. He's promised to supply your needs. He's promised to give you His peace. And this is for single people and for married people. So if you're married, I'm hoping that you're satisfied and happy. And if you're single, I'm hoping that you're satisfied and happy as well.
Well, what is it? I love something that you always say, that marriage is not to make you married,
Marriage is not to make you happy. Marriage is to make you married. So the fact that you're happy doesn't mean that you're going to be The fact that you're married doesn't mean that you're going to be happy. So be sure more than anything else that you're satisfied with Christ.
And that you're happy before you get married.
You're happy before you get married. In fact, I love what Paul has to say in Philippians 4:11. He says, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." This is our message for you today. Be content, married or single. And if it's God's will, He will find that right person just for you.
Well, that's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/realfamilytalk.